I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker dealer.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This episode is coming out late this week. I was under the weather, as I said last week. I've been going through it. but I'm feeling better. I feel like I'm on the mend. I'm still slightly congested, but I can function through it. So I thank God for that. I've also had like some tight deadlines. We had a production delay with a couple podcasts that I'm launching with my company, Anchored Media. And so I've been really pushing to get these shows out. So it's been a lot going on, trying to push through, not feeling well, work deadlines, both of my son's birthdays being this month. My youngest just turned one this week on the 28th. So it's been a lot going on, but this episode is out now if you're listening to it. And we're going to get caught up on the Battlefield of the Mind book. So I'm going to put out this episode and then I'm going to record for the next chapter as well and put that out probably on Sunday. So let's hop right into it. For those of you guys who are new here, we are making our way through Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. This year is the first year that we're doing a book club where I will choose a book. We will read it together and discuss it here on the podcast. If you don't have the book, that's okay. Still listen to the episode. I try to do the episodes in a way to where even if you're not reading the pages, you're still getting the message. If you do want to pick up and read with us, I'll put the link to the book in the show notes and you can continue on and get caught up. So this chapter, chapter 13, we're still in part two where she's talking about the different conditions of the mind. In this particular chapter, she's talking about a judgmental, critical, and suspicious mind. This chapter was where I'm like, okay, things are starting to get exciting again. I told you in like the last couple chapters, it felt a bit redundant, but this one, I believe, is really addressing a lot of things that we see even today in this online space, especially with Christian content creation. The scripture that Joyce references the most is found in Matthew 7, and I'm going to read verse 1 down to verse 6. It says, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you rid that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn and attack you. Joyce starts this off by saying that much torment comes to people's lives because of judgmental attitudes, criticism, and suspicion. Multitudes of relationships are destroyed by these enemies. Once again, the mind is the battlefield. Later, she goes on to define judging. In Vine's expository dictionary of Old and New Testament words, one of the Greek words translated as judgment is partially defined as a decision passed on the fault of others and is cross-referenced to the word condemnation. According to this same source, one of the Greek words translated judge is partially defined as to form an opinion and is cross-referenced to the word sentence. She says that God is the only one who has the right to condemn or sentence. Therefore, when we pass judgment on one another, we are, in a certain sense, setting ourselves up as God in his life. The biggest problem with having a judgmental, critical, and suspicious mind is, one, of course, that you're making yourself God because we're not the judge. And two, that this type of mindset the enemy uses to prevent us from properly loving people the way that we should. It stops us from having compassion, and compassion is necessary to properly help people, pour into people, disciple people, correct people. All of that requires love and compassion. When I look at Jesus and how he moved, he corrected people in such a loving way. When I think about the way that God corrects me and rebukes me, he's able to tell me about myself and show me the errors of my ways with such a level of kindness and gentleness and love. Like, when God corrects me, he don't like toss me to the ground and be like, "Now I told you that you need to stop, blah, blah, blah." Like, I'm not getting shamed and beat up and talked down upon. God just has such a beautiful way to lovingly correct his children. One that I pray often that he teaches me when it comes to correcting my children, because they be tiptoeing on these nerves sometimes. And I have to go back to the Lord and be like, "God, parent me as I parent them. Teach me how to be gentle like you are." But I, and Joyce said this as well, and tell me if it's the same for you, grew up in an environment where criticism was normal. People having something to say was normal. What you got that on for? Where you think you going? Oh, you think you cute? Why you do that? So why didn't you just? So you just gonna do that like that? So why you ain't that? Like, just, bro, always having something to say. I'm sure many of us have shared that experience. And so much so, that element of being hypercritical, we adopt. And because we're comfortable with it, the enemy is able to plant these seeds in our mind and go undetected because it's familiar. And so in such a sneaky way, he plants this stronghold that is effective in keeping us from showing people the love and the compassion that we're supposed to. And if we're focused on what everybody else is doing, then we're not paying attention to ourselves and the things that we need to be seeking God for, the things that we need to be repenting for, the things that God is showing us and sharing with us in this season. We're holding ourselves back because we worried about what everybody else is doing. Joyce says that the devil loves to keep us busy mentally judging the faults of others. That way we never see or deal with what is wrong with us. We cannot change others. Only God can. We cannot change ourselves either, but we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow him to do the work. Step one to any freedom, however, is to face the truth that the Lord is trying to show us. When we have our thoughts in conversation on what is wrong with everyone else, we are unusually being deceived about our own conduct. Therefore, Jesus commanded that we not concern ourselves with what is wrong with others when we have so much wrong with ourselves. Allow God to deal with you first, and then you will learn the scriptural way of helping your brother grow in his Christian walk. Something that I pray daily is I'm always asking for God to show me the errors of my thought processes. Show me the errors of my heart posture. If I notice something about myself throughout the week or throughout the day that's not Christ-like, I'm taking it back to the Lord. Like, God, this is what's going on with me. I know it's not like you. Fix me. Straight up, like, God, fix me. In this particular issue of being suspicious and being critical, this was something that I had to fast often for when I first read this book and around this time where God was developing me for this, the things that he was going to bless me with later. This was something that I really had to pray and seek him for, because that critical nature that I had that I grew up with that was normal, it was showing up in my relationships with people, my relationship with my now husband. I've seen it try to creep in my relationship with my children, and I have to keep going back to the Lord and asking him to guide me and give me wisdom and to forgive me for ways that I have allowed this familiar thing to creep in even now. But in spending so much time in prayer and fasting and really before the Lord and asking him to change me in this particular area some years ago, I've seen how that has benefited my effectiveness in business and in just doing the Lord's work, to where I can talk to people and they can tell me something they may be going through, or something may come up and be exposed that they may be going through. And my first inclination is not to like judge. When I meet people, I'm not automatically suspicious of their motives, especially in business. I show a lot of grace and I take great pride in the relationships and the reputation that I've had in business, to where people will often thank me for just being kind, for being gracious, because it may be things that they're going through and it's causing them to miss deadlines and it messes up everything I got going on. So I might be genuinely frustrated in what their hiccup may have caused in my business, but I'm not going to them with anger or judgment. I'm going with them with compassion and love and kindness, because I don't know what they're going through. And I've seen many times over the years how that position in business has gotten me favor. It has allowed me to build meaningful relationships. It's allowed me to really witness to people and show the love of God without giving them one scripture, without asking them what they believe in, just by simply being Christ-like and being humble enough to keep the things that are not Christ-like about me before the Lord for him to help me with. I've seen what that looks like. And so if you are somebody where that criticism and judgment is something that is natural to you, familiar to you, and a part of your day to day, I will admonish you to really repent, for one, and two, fast, pray, and ask the Lord to renew your mind. Ask him to soften your heart. Ask him to really work on you and grow you as an individual, so that you can be that much better of a representative of his in this world. I really love this next section. It's titled Love One Another, and she goes to Matthew 7:6, which says, "Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn to attack you." To be honest, when I first read this text, I didn't really understand what this scripture meant. And I believe Joyce did a good job of bringing it home. She says, "I believe the scripture is referring to our God-given ability to love each other. If you and I have an ability and a command from God to love others, but instead of doing that, we judge and criticize them, we have taken the holy thing, which is love, and cast it before dogs and hogs, which are demonic spirits. We have opened a door for them to trample on holy things and turn and tear us to pieces. We need to see that the love walk is protection for us against an evil attack. I do not believe the devil can do much harm to someone who really walks in love." So her interpretation of this scripture is that the holy thing is love. And when we cast it before these evil spirits by being critical and by being judged, then we open the door for it to tear us to pieces. An example of this, I have a business relationship and this person produces deliverables for me on a monthly basis. Recently, things just wasn't working out right. Like I wasn't getting my stuff on time. The deadlines just kept being missed. I'm somebody where deadlines are important to me. It's, you know, I plan things based upon deadlines. So it is particularly frustrating when I have something that I'm supposed to get, and then what I have to do next is contingent upon that, and then I get that late and it kind of throws everything off. So I was in a situation where something like that happened. And instead of me just going off, judging, see, this is why I don't like the blah, 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 because people just don't even be doing what they say they're going to do. That's why I don't want to spend money with Black-owned businesses, because they always blah, blah, you know, whatever excuse or foolishness or judgment. I could do that. Instead, I approached the situation with love. Hey, is everything okay? And this person later on came back and said, you know, I thank you so much for the grace and the kindness that you showed me. I'm going through a lot. I have this going on, that going on. And I just appreciate the love that you showed.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You just realized that your business needed to hire somebody yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. I've hired many times, and it's always very slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price.
And if I was not to respond in that way, right? If I was to respond in a way of being judgy, being critical, not showing love, that would have just opened up the door for the enemy to come in and tear stuff up, tear up the relationship, tear up the witness. I don't know if this person is a believer or not, but what I do know is that they know that I'm a believer and that by treating them with love and treating them with kindness, I am planting seeds that the Lord can then use me or somebody else to water, that if they're not a believer, prayerfully win them over to the kingdom of God. But I'm not messing that up because I allowed the enemy to manipulate this situation based upon me being judgy and critical. I love this story that Joyce told. She says, when I became pregnant with our fourth child, I was a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit, called into ministry, and a diligent Bible student. I had learned about exercising my faith for healing, yet during the first 3 months of the pregnancy, I was very, very sick. I lost weight and energy. I spent almost all of my time laying on the couch, nauseous, and so tired I could barely move. The situation was really confusing to me since I had felt wonderful during my first three pregnancies. I hadn't known much of God's word then, even though I was in church and did not actively use my faith for anything. Now, I was very familiar with God's promises, yet I was sick, and no amount of prayer to God or resisting the devil was removing the problem. One day, as I lay in the bed listening to my husband and children having a good time in the backyard, I aggressively asked God, "What in the world is wrong with me? Why am I so sick and why am I not getting well?" The Holy Spirit prompted me to read Matthew 7. I asked the Lord what that passage had to do with me and my health. I kept feeling that I should read it again and again. Finally, God opened my remembrance to an event that had taken place a couple of years earlier. I had led and taught a home Bible study to which a young lady came, whom we'll call Jane. Jane attended the course faithfully until she became pregnant, but then it became very difficult for her to join us regularly because she was always tired and feeling bad. As I lay in bed that day, I recalled that another Christian sister, air quotes, and I had talked about, judged, and criticized Jane because she just would not press through her circumstances and be diligent in coming to Bible study. We never offered to help her in any way. We just formed an opinion that she was a weakling and was using her pregnancy as an excuse to be lazy and self-indulgent. Now, I was in the same set of circumstances that Jane had been in just 2 years earlier. God showed me that although I had been healthy during my first three pregnancies, I had opened a huge door for the devil by my judgment and criticism. I had taken my pearls, the holy thing, which is my ability to love Jane, and thrown it before the dogs and hogs, and now they had turned and were tearing me to pieces. I can tell you I was quick to repent. As soon as I did, my health was restored and I was fine throughout the remainder of my pregnancy. She says, we all make mistakes. We all have weaknesses. The Bible says that we are not to have a hard-hearted, critical spirit towards each other, but instead to forgive one another and to show mercy to one another, just as for Christ's sake has done for us. This is such an important lesson. This is probably my favorite chapter of the book because this is such a prevalent problem in today's time. Everybody's talking about everybody. You have these Christian gossip pages. You have these YouTube pages where the whole page is just talking and judging and condemning and criticizing. Now, we are to test the spirits by the Spirit. So we are to, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to us what's going on. We do have the gift of discerning of spirits. But the book even said later on that I have highlighted that I thought was so good. She said that some people think they have discernment when actually they're just suspicious. There is a true gift of the Spirit called the gift of discerning the spirits. It discerns good and bad, not just bad. Suspicion comes out of the unrenewed mind, but discernment comes out of the renewed spirit. There is so much Christian elitism where everybody swear they smarter than the next person because you have gone to seminary school. Now you're better than the next person. I remember we were on tour, right? And I totally forgot about this story. We was on tour for the podcast in 2019 and I had a planner who planned the whole thing. And I had a coordinator in one of the cities because my planner couldn't come. And the coordinator was somebody who had went to seminary school. And I don't remember what I was talking about. I don't even remember what city we were in. But it was amazing. People were getting saved. People were getting set free. People were getting delivered. Like the Spirit was moving. I go to this person's social media page to thank them for helping out that day because they didn't know me from a can of paint. They were solicited by the planner. And so I was like, hey, I was going to say thank you for helping. And I just saw in the stories, like, people just out here thinking they can just say whatever for God, blah, blah, like just talking. And I was like, well, hold on now, Lord, she talking about me? Huh? So in addition to saying thank you, because I still was grateful, I said, are you talking about me? She said, no, I don't think she was telling the truth, but I just left it. But that spirit is the same spirit that so many people carry. And we see it play out every single day online. And I do want to say, some things need to get exposed. I believe that the Lord is doing a thing right now in the body of Christ where he is drawing that line between true and false. Those who are for him, those who are not for him, those who are pure, those who are tainted, those who are right, and those who seem like they right, but they not right. God is exposing all of it. I believe that he uses gifts such as like the prophets and individuals to really speak the uncomfortable truths. I believe all of that is true. That's not what I'm talking about right here, though. What I'm talking about and what Joyce is talking about is the battlefield of our minds. We're not talking about nobody else. We're talking about the battlefield of our minds. We're talking about making sure that we are not critical. We're talking about making sure that we're not worried about the speck in somebody else's eye when we got a log in ours. So this isn't a time for you to intellectualize anything. This is a chapter about repentance. This is a chapter about going to the Lord and asking him to put a mirror up to your heart to check your pride. This is a chapter about just really dealing with a space in an area that the enemy is very effective in, especially in this season. The last thing I want to highlight, the final section of this chapter, the title is Trust God Completely and Man Discreetly. Because we've talked about suspicion and we talked about being critical and judgy, but I love how she ended it with this. So we're going to go to John 2, 23 through 25. It says, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Joyce elaborates on this text by saying this. One time after I had been involved in a disappointing church situation, God brought John 2:23-25 to my attention. This passage is speaking of Jesus' relationship with his disciples. It plainly says that he did not trust himself to them. It does not say that he was suspicious of them or that he had no trust in them. It just explains that because he understood human nature, which we all have, he did not trust himself to them in an unbalanced way. I learned a good lesson. I had been hurt badly in a situation at church because I had become too involved with a group of ladies that had got out of balance. Every time we get out of balance, we open a door for the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. I learned that I had been leaning on the ladies in this group and placing in them a trust that belongs only to God. We can only go so far in any human relationship. If we go beyond wisdom, trouble will brew and we will be hurt. Always place your ultimate trust in the Lord. Doing so will open the door for the Holy Spirit to let you know when you're crossing over the line of balance. And this is the part that I referred to before. She says, some people think they have discernment when actually they're just suspicious. There is a true gift of the spirit called the discerning of spirits. It discerns good and bad, not just bad. Suspicion comes out of the unrenewed mind. Discernment comes from the renewed spirit. Pray for true gifts, not flesh that masquerades as gifts of the spirit. True spiritual discernment will provoke prayer, not gossip. If a genuine problem is being discerned by a genuine gift, it will follow the scriptural pattern for dealing with it, not fleshly ways that only spread and compound the problem. This part was so good because it shows that Jesus had a level of, he had a balanced relationship with his disciples, right? He wasn't judgy or suspicious and critical of them, but he understood their nature, so he moved accordingly. And so the same thing for us, this chapter is not talking about us going into things in a naive way. It's talking about going into things with love, going into things with true discerning of spirit, and being submitted to the Holy Spirit so that he will reveal anything else we need to know. And understanding that if we find ourselves in these unbalanced situations, we have to get out. If you're in a situation where you're around church folk, but y'all just talking about people for the sake of talking about people and trying to say that you care, but ain't nobody prayed for nobody yet. Y'all just telling folks business. That is a situation you have to get out of. I remember being at a church and they will be talking about people from the pulpit, throwing shade on the stage. I'm like, what is going on? And I got up out of there. I've had people come to me even recently and tell me about things that was going on with a spiritual leader that I've had a dispute with in the past. And when they came to me, of course, my flesh want to be like, see, that's why blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, I was like, dang, I my heart breaks for the people that's going to be hurt in that. I immediately prayed, God, as you're exposing, as you are revealing in this season, please just let your sheep have a safe space to land. Please just build up those who are pure, who you've called for such a time as this. Give them the strength and the confidence to do what you've called them to do so that they can be a safe place to land for some of these people who are going to be confused as you are just laying down your righteous judgment. So we have to be mindful of the ways in which we're suspicious, the ways in which we can judge, the ways in which we can be critical, because this is just such a prevalent way that the enemy keeps us bound mentally. And in this current climate, I believe it's a very tempting battle of the mind that I want us all to overcome. So I'm going to end this here. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and we'll talk about the next chapter in the next episode.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. So just like you, he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.